Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning we return to the book of Isaiah chapter 35, reading today verses 8 to 10. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up upon it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, dear friends in Christ, we've been speaking of the last things, the end of times when the ransomed of the Lord will return. That's a time, as we've seen, when strength will replace weakness, when a lush garden will replace a desert wasteland. But perhaps most encouraging is Scripture's promise that when the ransomed of the Lord return, joy and gladness will replace sorrow and sighing. Isaiah says, "They shall come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Zion, as you know, is another name for Jerusalem. And the picture that Isaiah uses here may sound a bit strange to your ears, but would have been very familiar to the people of Judah. For three times a year, at the time of the major Jewish festivals, all the people of the surrounding Judean towns would go up to Jerusalem for the worship of the Lord in the temple. Jerusalem sits on top of the hill, so everyone would be traveling upward toward the beautiful city. Often groups of these pilgrims would travel together, and they would sing hymns as they would walk along, and their steps brought them nearer to the holy city. That's how it will be for us, says Isaiah. For us, the ransomed of the Lord, as we travel to our heavenly Zion. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. You and I will walk on that road through a beautiful and renewed countryside. We will come to Zion with singing and everlasting joy on our heads, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a stark contrast with the kind of life we experience here in this world. One writer said that we most often experience the opposite of what he's describing in this text. Not a joyful road, but a painful obstacle course. Don't you feel your life is that way sometimes? Like you just get over one painful episode, you start to catch your breath and recover your spirits, and then something else comes along to cause you sorrow and sleepless nights. And if we're honest, don't we have to admit that much of that grief and sorrow caused by our own sinfulness, our failures, our waywardness, our dissatisfaction and complaining about God's way, and by us choosing our own way instead, we can almost feel how heavy and grief-stricken the psalmist must have felt when he wrote, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." But good news. Jesus died to give you relief from that sorrow and suffering and sighing. His love for you carried him all the way to the cross. And there on Golgotha, he received the prints of the nails in his hands and feet, the wound of the spear in his side. And those were, in the truest sense, wounds of love. They are the evidence of the love our everlasting God had for lost mankind, a love that would stop at nothing in order to redeem and save us. Have you ever wondered what they look like, those wounds? We're going to find out. You and I are going to see those wounds when we meet our Savior face to face in the holy city. Can you even imagine that? In a few moments, we'll sing those dear tokens of his passion, still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exaltation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. In heaven, Isaiah says, we will obtain joy and gladness. And to obtain, there is a very descriptive word in the Hebrew. For my Hebrew students, it's the verb radaf. It means to pursue and overtake. Ever wonder why people are always talking about the pursuit of happiness, but everybody pursues it and nobody seems to overtake it? Well, one day you and I are finally going to catch up to what our hearts and souls have been yearning for all along. What C.S. Lewis was talking about when he said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And that's true. You and I were made for another world, and by faith in Christ, we're headed toward that world right now. There we will obtain joy and gladness. There we'll leave sin and sighing and every sorrow miles behind and find true and lasting happiness in the presence of our dear Lord Jesus himself. The fairy tales that we read when we were little often ended with the cliched phrase, and they lived happily ever after. As we grew up a little bit more, we realized why they were called fairy tales, because in real life, people don't usually live happily ever after. Even the most blessed lives are marked with sorrow and suffering. But one day that's all going to change. When the ransomed of the Lord return, then strength will replace weakness. Then a lush garden will replace a desert wasteland, and then joy and gladness will replace sorrow and sighing. And then, by the grace of God, we too will truly live happily ever after. Amen. We join in singing hymn 336.